Blood and Barrels discuss cases that contain graphic content.
And Mike has a potty mouth.
So does Amy.
Nah.
Listener discretion is advised. What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Blood and Barrels. I'm Mike.
I'm Amy.
And we have three of the loudest children known to man in the house right now, so we're going to try to record. Hopefully you won't hear, like, you know, I don't know, screams.
If you do, we apologize ahead of time. We got three boys and a little girl.
Yup.
All in one room playing video games, so.
They were going to go outside and play, but it's raining today, so, you know. We're going to make it work.
Yeah.
We're going to make it work.
We're going to make it work for you guys.
Yeah. So, I think we talked a little bit about this last time, but we are in the process of revamping the website. Hopefully that'll go quickly and smoothly. We're trying to do it this weekend because we just recorded, what?
Last night.
Tuesday's episode last night, and then this will be, I think, bonus episode.
Yeah, I think this is going to be bonus.
Yeah.
And then we're going to record a couple more. We're going to record, work on the website, record, work on the website. So this weekend is dedicated to you guys.
That's right. So anyway, where are we going this week, Boo?
We're going back to Idaho.
Back to Idaho.
But this time we're in Boise, Idaho.
Boise, Idaho. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said last time, I've never been to Idaho, so I really don't know. I think Boise is one of the more populated, larger cities.
Capital.
Yeah, I knew it was the capital. So. Yeah.
So yeah, we're going to Boise and we're having cider again. This time from Edge Brewing Company. So they're not just strictly cider, but that's what we have to try is their Huckleberry Cider.
So when you say they're not strictly cider, like they do other types of...
They're a brewery that also does cider.
Hey, I'm down with it, yeah.
So we're trying their Huckleberry Cider.
Got to diversify.
Yeah, and it looks like they've got quite a diverse selection, but the description of the Huckleberry Cider says, and this comes from their website, "I'll be your huckleberry any day, good looking. A berry found right here in the state of Idaho. The huckleberry runs free across the steep slopes of the Sawtooth Mountains, bounds wildly through the deep canyons of the Salmon River, and boldly launches itself across the Boise National Forest. Here at Edge, we like our huckleberries in a pint glass accompanied by Washington apples and good times." And it's a 6% ABV.
Nice. Yeah. I like it. Now, I like their little spiel or whatever they call the description.
Yeah, their little description.
But it says, "I'll be your huckleberry." Do you know what that's from?
I feel like I should know, but I don't.
I love it. So, Tombstone. I think he actually says, "I'm your huckleberry" in the movie.
Okay.
But that's a Val Kilmer, was Doc Holliday.
Quote
from that movie.
Yeah,
so.
Then I did not know where it was from because I don't think I've seen that movie.
Oh, what? How have I never shown you that movie? I love that movie.
I don't
like Westerns, funnily enough. I hate Westerns. Tombstone is like a fucking phenomenal movie.
Okay,
so.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
fair enough.
It's
so are you ready to try this Huckleberry Cider?
I'm ready.
Thank you, sir.
So yeah, let's crack it open.
Okay. Whoa.
Ooh, it's just a little frothy.
It smells good.
That does smell good. It smells real good.
It smells like fruit.
As it should. Oh,
cheers.
No clink because we got the cans today.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, that is super, super good.
It's not too sweet. It's kind of semi-sweet.
Yeah, I think it's maybe a little on the upper end of the semi-sweet, but... It's really good. It's sweet, but it's not too sweet. I would say that. But it is pretty sweet. But I like that a lot.
It's fermented with their semi-sweet yeast.
Okay. Well, there you go. Look at you.
But I'm going to check in. What you give it?
I would give it a 5. That's perfect. Really, really good.
It's very, very good. I feel like I'm finding out that I like ciders more than I Thought I did.
I forgot I liked ciders, and then like we had them for the last episode, and then today, and I'm like, fuck, I really like ciders, mm-hmm. and I didn't, you know, I kind of forgot.
So I got Brewery Pioneer Level 20. That's beer from 100 different breweries.
Oh, wow. So, there you go. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Racking up those badges.
That's right.
So before we actually jump into the case, I'm going to give y'all a few myths about Idaho.
Myths, and, not facts, but myths.
Well, remember the episode that you did about, like, you don't put beans in your chili. We don't ride horses to
No, work. That's a fact. You don't put beans in your chili. That's that is illegal and is incorrect.
Okay.
But I get what you're saying.
Same
yeah,
type like of thing,
in,
yeah.
Well, we don't put beans in our chili. But in Texas, yeah, we don't ride horses to work. Sorry to ruin anybody's day. But yes, okay, I get what you're saying.
So a couple of those and then some facts as well.
Okay.
Because this is a shorter case, so we wanted to give a little bit more stuff for you to listen to.
Most stuff for you.
More stuff for you people.
That's right.
Okay, so apparently, I did not know this, but apparently there is a myth that people in Idaho do not have indoor plumbing and still use outhouses.
Really? I guess, is it just really that rural, I guess?
I guess, but the response to this is, what is this, the 1880s? They said, apparently, Boise's sewer system was actually built in 1892, and with that came the flush toilet. Now, apparently, you will still find some outhouses, but they're in places like state parks or really, really small towns, but they say that like 90% of Idaho, 95% has indoor plumbing. So that is a myth.
I mean, I feel like that's probably the case across the board. You
right,
know?
Right. So, yeah. No different than any other state. Now, apparently, much like Texas, people believe that horses are their main way of commuting.
Apparently, people think that people in Idaho, like, live way back in the fucking day.
I guess, yeah. And they say, tell that to the traffic on I-84. Obviously, I know nothing about I-84, but I'm going to go with, like, it's probably, like, 75 here.
Well, yeah, like, well, or, yeah, 635 or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, Boise, at least, I know, is a well-populated area.
Yes, it is. It is. And what they do say is that the majority of the people obviously prefer a car, but there is one couple, apparently, that rides their horses through a Dutch Bros coffee place in Meridian.
That's so amazing. I love it. And good for those people.
And there are some people around a city named Star that use their horse instead of a car, but it's not like across the board.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if like Idaho has a bunch of like Amish communities, but obviously people in Amish communities use a horse and wagon and whatever. So like, but that's different. That's different.
And the last myth that I have for you is that Idahoans have funny accents. They claim that it's not really an accent. It's their own dialect. And this is where we hear a creek being called a crick. They call their glove box A jockey box. And they call a coyote a coyote, which that I don't feel like is that odd. I feel like a lot of people call them coyotes. But
so it's not even so much that they have an accent. It's just that they have very unique words for certain things.
Almost their own language, for lack of a better word.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Okay. So now I'm going to give you a few little facts. And these are all about Boise specifically. We talked about the Huckleberry. We'd never had one before. So.
No.
So I was curious. Huckleberry is actually the state food of Idaho.
State food. Like, to me, that's like state. You could say state fruit or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that's not a, like, obviously fruit is food. Like, you get my point.
No, but, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you just said, like, you know, baked potato or something, I don't know, you know.
Well, they also love their potatoes, too, and we'll get there in a minute. But for those of you who don't know, a huckleberry is a delicious, tiny berry that is blue, purple, blackish in color. So a lot of different color combinations there. Apparently, the Idaho huckleberry picking location is still a family secret. So they run everywhere, but I guess where you get them is a secret. I don't know.
So they grow everywhere, but you got to know where to go to pick them?
I guess so.
That's confusing. Yeah. That's confusing.
But they say that the fruit can be consumed with ice cream, syrup, chocolate, or eaten just when you pick them.
All right. Fair enough.
Now, we know that Idaho also loves their potatoes. They have something called an ice cream potato.
What? That sounds amazing. Not really, but go ahead.
So when I saw it, I was thinking like it's just another variety that they call ice cream potato, right?
Yeah.
It's actually not a potato at all. There are no potatoes in the recipe. It's a creamy, ice creamy texture that melts in your mouth that's covered with cocoa and whipped cream. The vanilla ice cream is scooped and served in the shape of a potato with a spoonful of sour cream.
Okay. So wait, a spoonful of sour cream on your ice cream?
Apparently, it's the best frozen dessert to have in Idaho.
All right. I mean, I won't knock it till I try it, but it sounds... you had me up until the sour cream, yeah.
Well, I will say a lot of cream cheese recipes call for sour cream.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry. Cheesecake, not cream cheese.
Okay. I do love some cheesecake. Yeah, but I'm on board with that.
Yeah, some of those, you add a little bit of sour cream to kind of dull out the cream cheese flavor.
Okay. I could see this being right up your alley. You love some fucking sour cream.
Yeah, I'm with you, though. I don't know if I would like it on ice cream.
If it works as a flavor combo, I bet you'd probably be like, oh, this is better than regular ice cream.
Yeah, I mean, true.
Knowing you, I
would agree 1,000%. But just reading it, I'm a little wary like you are.
Fair enough. I got to stop saying fair enough. What the hell? Who was it? Andrew. We were talking to Andrew, and he's like, I got your next merch idea.
Oh, yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, I say it all the time. Sorry, guys. Continue.
So have you ever heard of ice wine?
No.
So apparently Idaho is well known for ice wine, and what that is, you make the grapes are frozen on the vine itself rather than like picking them and freezing them. So you freeze the grapes on the vine itself, which apparently results in a more concentrated grape sugars and intensifies the taste of the wine.
Oh, cool.
So they're known for that. The State House in Boise, which apparently, if you're saying Boise, you're saying it wrong. It should be Boise.
Oh, really? It should be Boise?
Yeah.
That sounds weird.
No Z, but an S.
But are they the only ones who actually pronounce it that way? I feel like everybody else around America and the world probably calls it Boise.
Yeah, but everybody else is pronouncing it wrong. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm still going to call it Boise.
Yeah, I'm not changing. Yeah, sorry.
But anyway, the State House in Boise is geothermally heated from an underground hot springs, pumped from a source 3,000 feet underground.
Oh, that's actually kind of cool.
Isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
They don't even have like a heater. They just have a hot spring that heats their shit up.
Smart.
Yeah.
Save on some electricity. You know.
Boise was named the number one adventure city in America by National Geographic.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, number one adventure city. That's kind
of
cool.
They got a bunch of rock climbing and...
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So apparently it's also really good for mountain biking and things like that.
Very nice.
And lastly, Boise has been ranked one of the happiest cities in America. Apparently, it has some of the best job opportunities, one of the best music scenes, best outdoor activities, best small business atmosphere.
I would have guessed none of that.
Right?
I really would never have guessed any of that.
But they've made all the lists for all of those, so then they obviously made the list for being one of the happiest cities in America.
Fair enough. I wonder what there is to do. Like, obviously, the adventure-y type stuff, but... I'm probably very wrong, but I feel like Boise's a little bit more, or not Boise, but Idaho is a little bit more sparse. So outside of Boise, like, is there much to do, or is Boise like the hot spot?
I think Boise's like the place to go. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I really don't, but Boise is a happening place.
Works for me, yeah.
Mike may be trying to move us to Boise.
Mm-hmm.
Boise.
Probably not. It's a little too close to California and Oregon for my comfort. I'm gonna be honest with you.
We love you, California and Oregon listeners, since we have both of you.
Never gonna live there, but love you.
That's it. Those are my little fun facts for you guys.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you for that.
All right, so you ready to get into the case?
I'm totally ready.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the Boise Murder House.
That sounds interesting.
It is. This is the reason this is going to be a bonus one is it's probably going to be short because although it's a real place where a real murder took place, it's kind of become urban legend and things, so there's a lot of stories tied to it that maybe aren't true.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But the murder that we're going to talk about is 100% true. It happened in the home, but it is definitely a big tourist place now.
Gotcha.
Even though it's ramshackled. It reminds me kind of the Pike House.
Ramshackled. I like that. It's ramshackled.
It's in disarray. It's
there you go. Yeah.
It's
falling apart.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, ghetto fabulous.
Remember how I told you when I went to go see the Pike House and it just kind of guided me there.
Yeah.
And it was surrounded by all these beautiful homes that had been well maintained. Kind of same thing with the murder house. It's surrounded by all these beautiful homes, but it's abandoned.
So when you say it's a tourist attraction, people kind of drive up to it, but nobody like owns it and is like running tours or anything like that.
Well, there is still an owner, but no, he is not.
So people can't go inside.
Right. Okay. He's not living there. He's not running tours. Obviously, he's not even keeping up with the place. He just kind of owns it.
And yeah, I wonder why you... Oh, okay. Well, if we're going to get into it, then I won't ask the questions.
Yeah. So the Boise Murder House is located at 805 West Linden Street in Boise, Ohio. Oh, Idaho.
Idaho.
Not Ohio. The home was built in 1910, and like I said, the street that it's on is lined with beautiful homes, well-manicured lawns, except for the Boise Murder House. It is still standing, but has been abandoned. When it was built in 1910, the house was a pretty good size. It was a four-bedroom house with two and a half bathrooms, and even in its worn down state now, it's said that the home is worth about $1 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's been abandoned. It's falling apart. Now, to get to the owner, supposedly the home is still owned by the family who owned it when the murder took place, but they're not taking care of it. And if that's the case, I think that's probably why, because once you hear the story, I think you'll understand why.
So the person who owns it is still a member of the family.
Gotcha. So I mentioned earlier, even though an actual murder did occur here, it's not surprising at all that this house has become somewhat of a icon in Boise. And the stories are kind of hard to keep straight. Some are true, some aren't. It is known to be a haunted home. There are rumors that the Boise Murder House was a frat house at one point.
Sounds like the Pike House you're talking about, because exactly. That was the deal with that too, right?
Yeah, and it really was the Pike House really was a fraternity.
Yeah.
We don't know with this one because I'm sure it probably was a frat house, but the rumors were that they would go into the basement and see blood running down the walls and things like that.
So getting them ghosty stories going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of ghosts associated with the home and tragic events that have supposedly happened over the years. It is two-story and almost 3,000 square feet. It's a craftsman style home.
I've never heard of that.
Okay, so I'm glad you haven't, because I looked up to see exactly what a craftsman style home was, because I always kind of thought that the house I grew up in was craftsman style.
Okay.
So the way it's described is that a craftsman style home is inspired by the arts and crafts of America. So it's very American, and it started about 100 years ago, and the style of home is still popular today.
The arts and crafts of America. Mm-hmm.
Yes. The architecture focuses heavily on like horizontal lines and triangular shaped roofs. They often feature exposed beams, and they typically use local materials kind of to showcase the area.
Okay.
So I think the house I grew up in probably would classify to an extent as a craftsman style.
So there's no, like, there's a kind of general style associated with it, but there's no, like, one...
Right.
But, like, yeah, okay. So right. There's not one look. It could be a little...
Yeah, it's not like a Mediterranean home where you know it's...
I mean, so I did pull up some pictures. It kind of reminds me of some of the, you know, like the old homes we have, like in downtown McKinney, mm-hmm. although some of those could be like Victorian too. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
But you see the horizontal cool. lines and the triangular roof, the exposed beams.
Yeah. I mean, we've got some homes kind of like that around here. So, yeah, very cool. Okay. Yeah. I've never heard of that. So if you don't know and you're still confused, you can always Google it and look at images. That's what I did while we were talking.
So. So now we're going to talk about the murder. Are you ready?
I'm always ready.
You're always ready. All right, and take a drink.
Yep. Cheers.
Cheers, boo. Okay. So on June 30th, 1987, one of Boise's most famous and most grotesque murders took place at this house, now known as the Boise Murder House, the Chop Chop House.
The Chop Chop House.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And sometimes even Macabre Manor.
You mean macabre?
Yes. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry. I had to ask. Sorry.
It looks like macabre.
It is spelled that way. Yeah.
So in 1987, Daniel Rogers owned the home. And like I said earlier, they think somebody, one of Daniel's relatives still owns the home now. Daniel was 37 at the time, and he was with his friend Darren Cox, who was 31. The two men murdered another man who was only 21 years old, named Preston Murr.
So one of the guys who killed Preston Murr
owned the house.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Yes. Some sources say that Daniel and Darren were local drug dealers. Again, that's... I don't know. They could be. They may not be. I don't know. The murder did happen in the basement of the home. So that's why the frat brothers claimed to have seen blood running down the walls, because that is where the murder took place. They actually shot Preston to death. And after he died, Daniel and Darren dismembered him with an axe and a knife. They then wrapped his body in multiple trash bags. Reportedly, he was chopped into 26 pieces after his death.
Oh, wow.
Hence, Chop Chop House.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. They then drove to the border of Oregon and Idaho and dumped his body in the Brownlee Reservoir. Pieces of his body began to surface at the reservoir. In fact, it only took about a week for the pieces of his body to...
Were they, like, finding them one by one floated up?
Yeah, because they were all in different, you know, they had multiple trash bags, so they just...
Yeah.
So, yeah. The plastic bags... Oh, actually, I take that back. It sounds like maybe they dumped the bag, because it says that they... the plastic bags that they used and the gloves had been thrown away at a Meridian, Idaho convenience store. Which is only about 15 minutes from Boise.
Man, so like just random limb pieces were just popping up at different times all over the reservoir?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and Boise, I mean, it's relatively close to Oregon, but it was probably a 2-hour drive. I'm totally guessing, but to get to the reservoir.
Okay. So they were popping up in Oregon?
So the Brownlee Reservoir is on the border of Oregon and Idaho.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So they went from Boise to Meridian, dumped the evidence in Meridian, and then kept going to the border and dumped the body.
Gotcha.
Or they probably did it the other way. They probably drove all the way to the border, dumped the body, and then stopped in Meridian to get rid of the trash bags and...
Gotcha. Okay. Gloves. Man. Yeah.
Because I don't.
I'm slow.
Well, I said it wrong the first time because I was like, wait a minute. They wouldn't have stopped on the way there because then they would have just had body parts in the back of their car.
Yeah. So that would be weird.
Yeah. So I said it wrong the first time. So what's sad about this whole thing is that around midnight, the three men did get into an argument. And during the argument, Preston was actually shot in the shoulder. Not really sure why or what happened, but he did attempt to escape the house and actually ran to a neighbor's house. And he started banging on the door. The neighbor didn't answer, but not just because the neighbor was scared. So the neighbor did call the police. They just didn't answer the door for Preston. But okay. They did call the police and let them know that there seemed to be some sort of disturbance going on. It's from what I could tell, it seems that he was a neighbor that probably lived across the street. So like he came out of the house and ran across the street because he told the dispatchers that something seemed to be going down at the house across the street.
Okay.
But I don't know if he was directly across, but either way, some sources say that when Murr ran to the neighbor's home, he was already covered in blood, which is why the neighbor was scared, because he's got, understandably, you've got a random man you don't know
covered in blood. Yeah, I mean, you don't know if it's his blood or somebody else's blood or...
Yeah. Now, no one seems to know exactly why the men got into a fight. They had apparently started hanging out earlier that day, and the reason they started hanging out is because someone had stolen some of Daniel's guns, and the three got together to try to find them. There were also rumors that Preston had actually attended a funeral earlier that day. And at the funeral, he was arrested for disorderly conduct because he was drunk at the funeral.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's not a horribly uncommon occurrence. It's not super common, but it happens.
Yeah. And he apparently also had called police earlier that day, just a few hours after being arrested. So he got arrested, but he didn't get held or anything, you know?
Right.
So after he left, he called the police again, and told them that someone was threatening to kill him.
Interesting. Okay.
So they got that 911 call. Then they get the neighbor's 911 call around midnight, right? So after he calls the police and tells them that somebody's threatening him, that's when he meets up with Daniel Rogers and Darren Cox. And he didn't really know them real well, but he thought that Roger might know who was threatening his life. So that's kind of how he joined in.
Okay.
To the group. So when the neighbor called 911, he reported that there was a loud banging on his door and he could hear somebody, and I'm assuming it was probably Preston, saying, let go of me. And when he peeked out his window to see what was going on, he saw Preston being dragged away back to the house.
Okay.
So the same neighbor who called the police and told them he saw Preston being dragged away also told the police that he saw someone hosing down the porch at Daniel's house.
I'm assuming after the fact or?
This was when he called them that night.
So they had drugged Preston away.
Mm-hmm.
How long do we know how long it was between when that happened and when they called the police?
He called right after Preston banged on the door trying to get in. He just didn't let Preston in, but while he was on the phone with him, he peeked out the window to see what was going on.
And somebody was hosing down the porch.
And he saw them drag Preston back into the house and then somebody come out and hose down the porch.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Once they drug him back into Daniel's home, Preston was taken into the basement and shot in the back of the head.
Damn.
And that's obviously the shot that was fatal. Now, the sad thing is that despite the neighbor having called the police that night, they didn't respond that night.
What?
They didn't.
How would you not respond to that? Like, oh, by the way, there's a bloodied man at my door. Some fools just dragged him off across the street. Now they're hosing off the porch. Like, why would you not come investigate that?
Well, they didn't. So the next morning, this same neighbor gets up, goes outside, and discovers that there's blood on his screen door and calls the police for a second time. This time, the police did come out and they discovered Preston's blood on the sidewalk, possibly at another home, obviously at the neighbor's house. So you can see how he really tried to escape these men.
Yeah.
Just from the blood all over the neighborhood.
Dude, if they would have responded,
he might not be dead.
Yeah, I mean, if they would have come out, or if he was killed, at least they could have caught these guys, like, right away.
Right, and they wouldn't have found the body popping up in the reservoir.
All 26 pieces yeah. randomly floating up. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of fucked up.
So, when police did come out to investigate the next day, they tried to get in touch with the men at the Boise murder house. Not surprisingly, they didn't get an answer, I'm going to assume, because they were still probably driving the body to the reservoir when yeah, this happened. Right. But eventually they did get into the house and found the crime scene. Even though there was no body, they found, I'm sure, blood in the basement. And I'm sure in 1987, they weren't that great at cleaning up the evidence, even if they hosed down the porch.
Yeah. Know? Well, I think they had luminol back then, I would assume. I think.
Yeah, they did. But I don't even think these men were smart enough to, like, try to do all that.
Slackers.
Yeah. Because even though it took like a week for Preston's body to start appearing, the men were arrested almost immediately because it was quite obvious about something had happened. Now, both of them went to trial, obviously, but Darren Cox, the friend, actually agreed to work with prosecutors. So he testified against Daniel, and he only received 7 years in prison. Daniel got a life sentence. Now, the reason Darren only got 7 years is because he was only charged with accessory to murder. He wasn't actually charged with the murder of Preston.
In other words, he didn't pull the trigger.
Right. Yeah. Now, during Daniel's trial, he actually claimed that Darren was the one to...
That's not shocking.
Pull the trigger, right. He also said that it was Darren's idea to dismember the body and dispose of it. But obviously the court didn't believe him because Darren got 7 years in prison and he got the rest of his life in prison.
Right.
So Daniel did try to appeal his sentence in 2005, but it was denied. And he's actually still alive and being held in the Idaho correctional facility in Kuna, Idaho. And of course, we talked about this a little earlier. People now claim that the home is haunted. Some say by Preston, which, you know, to me makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
For him to murder the place.
To murder the place.
I mean, to haunt the place.
To haunt the place, yes.
I mean, technically, they all kind of murdered the place since it's abandoned and disheveled, but, yeah. You know. Others, though, claim that it's haunted by a woman who seemed to live in the 1800s, which I find extremely odd since the home was not built until 1910.
So that's where some of that tall tale stuff comes around, yeah.
And there's a whole lot more you can find out about the hauntings and things like that. I didn't really want to go into it for this because we're not a ghosty podcast, but... This was basically the facts I could get, and I thought it was very interesting. But, like, when you Google murder in Boise, bam.
First thing that shows up.
Yeah, and it's, like, the only thing. And then you start looking, and it's kind of like the Lumber Baron house was, where I, you know, started looking, and it was all about the ghost stuff.
Well, at least this actually was like a real place and something actually happened. When we were going to do our live recording in Salina.
Oh, yeah.
I found this case and I was like, dude, this would be perfect. And then like I dug into it and got on like a few threads of people talking about it.
Yeah.
And like half the people were like, yeah, I know where this house is. I've seen it, blah, blah, blah. And then the other half was like that. There's not even, like, that address doesn't even exist. You haven't been there. It's not real. Like, yeah. So it was like a 50-50 split of, yes, this is, you know, it was weird.
Well, like you said, this place for sure was there. There was a trial. There was a murder. And it is still infamous to this day. And it's really a short case, but it's very interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I thought this was an interesting case. I will say it's odd that it's called the murder house whenever it was just like one murder. Like usually when you have a murder house, it's, you know, a big, you know, a big thing. And this is like one person. So it's odd that this is, you know, I guess for Boise, this is like over the top. I don't know.
Yeah, I think because he was dismembered in the basement and his blood was all over the neighborhood. It was. Yeah, I don't think that was something Boise was used to experiencing.
They weren't ready for that.
Yeah, but they handled the case very well. And
by not responding?
Well, true. I mean, once they responded.
Yeah, after the fact.
Yeah, they did arrest the men very quickly once they actually showed up to the crime scene the next day after the guy was dead.
Mm-hmm.
But I am interested if anybody listening has been there. Or knows any other stories that might be floating around about it.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be good to know. So if you do have anything or any information, obviously you can hit us up on our social media, or we have info@bloodandbarrels.com where you can email us. So yes,
we would love to have more information about this, especially from somebody that's right there.
Yeah. Like if you actually live in Boise and you know,
yeah.
But yeah, no, that was good. So sorry it was short, guys. You know,
I think this is probably our shortest one, but I just thought it was such a cool case.
It definitely is. But you know what? It's all good because it's coming out as a bonus. So
true. You'll get a little extra 25 minutes of us.
Yeah. Well, if you have a short drive to work, this kind of episode works great because it fits right in. You know.
Yeah. So, there you go. We're watching out for all of our listeners.
Exactly. So that being said, I definitely want to give a big shout out to Edge Brewing Company. Love the cider. That was really good.
It's delicious.
Yeah. So if you're in that area, you should definitely check it out.
Go check it out and try the Huckleberry Cider and try the Wildfire. Let me know if that's good.
I was a little concerned. I was like, Huckleberry? I don't think
I've ever had a Huckleberry. So
I've never had a Huckleberry, but this is damn good. So
yeah, check it out. And their can's real pretty.
It is.
We didn't say that earlier, but
it's very pink.
Well, I'm sure huckleberries are probably pink, and that's why.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's why I like the can. It's cool. So
yeah, we hope you liked the short one. We hope you liked the Boise Murder House.
True. And if you do like the show, please, you know, take a little bit of time, maybe take 2 minutes out of your day and go out onto Apple Podcasts and give us a rating and review. There's other places, I think Audible and a few others. So.
Spotify, you can rate. If you do it on Apple, please give us a review. That helps more than the rating.
Yep. And we do have, obviously, the new website coming out soon, so be on the lookout for that. We'll let you know when it's completed and up and all that stuff. And then, also, we don't ever talk about it anymore. We always forget, but we do have merch on the website.
We do have merch,
We haven't mentioned that in, like, I don't know, at least 10 episodes, it's been a minute, not more.
And we're still looking for new merch ideas. We only have two designs right now.
True. We got the It's Twisty, and then we have our just logo design. Yeah, so
if there's an idea you have, again, hit us up on the things.
On all the things.
All the things. Let us know. We love our It's Twisty was designed by multiple listeners together with us. So.
Yeah, we took, we kind of reached out to everybody, or we kind of put it out there, and people sent us their feedback. And I kind of took all of their feedback and use it to create a design. So it really is. It's created by you guys. So we always appreciate the feedback and the community around it.
Yeah. So just let us know. Case suggestions, anything like that.
Yep. And as always, we do have the Patreon. We've got, we're actually recording the Patreon episode after this one. So that'll be coming out probably early, mid next week, I think. So.
And that'll be
Part two. This it may already be out depending on, because this will be like a Thursday episode.
Yeah, it depends. But it'll be the second installment of our first series.
Yep.
So if you haven't listen to the first one, that's the Briley Brothers, go listen to that, because this next one goes along with it.
Yep. And that being said, I think that's it. So we love you guys as always, and we appreciate you tuning in,
and we appreciate everybody. Huckleberry Cider.
Yep.
But
that being said, we will catch you next time.
We love you all.
Laters. Thank you for joining us here at Blood and Barrels. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Blood and Barrels. You can also follow us on Twitter at Blood Barrels Pod.
Follow us on all the things.
You can also listen to Blood and Barrels on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or most anywhere where you enjoy your podcast.
If you enjoy listening, please head over to Apple Podcasts and rate, review, and subscribe. For more information about the show, you can check us out at bloodandbarrels.com.
If you want to help support the show and become a part of the Blood and Barrels family, you can join us on Patreon and get access to additional content. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.